long time ago, about 2,400 years ago. But Persia is Iran, so it's still in the news. And the book of Ezra is probably the major character after Israel got punished. Now, Israel got punished because God loves her. Did you hear what I just said? When God loves you, he chastens you. Now, punishment, when you're just being punished for something you did, is no good. But if there's hope in it, if the punishment is actually not punishment, but is chastening, in other words, God's teaching you something, character, develop your character, then troubles are good. And actually, the same situation can either produce chastening or punishment. It depends on how you look at it. It's not how it is, it's how you look at it. It's not how it is, it's how you look at it. It's your perception of it. So the reality is that a storm is a storm. But the way you look at it makes all the difference in the world, especially for you. So I don't look at anything in this world, anything, as a trouble that can harm me. Everything goes my way. Everything. Everything in this world is on my side. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I can just look at anything, and I don't have to see what the good is. I just, it's good. It's good for me. God likes me. The guy's hung up on me. He just likes me. He favors me all the time. So I mess up. I screw up. I blow it. I do wrong. Doesn't bother God, and it doesn't bother me because I'm very good at it. Is anyone else good at that? You know, you can just take something and mess it up. But God can take what you mess up and clean it up. So it really doesn't matter. Whatever we do, God is for us. And so Israel, the Old Testament, the Jews, and particularly the Jews, the northern tribes, Israel used to be a big 12-tribe thing. And then 10 of the tribes did naughty and wiped them out. And they're gone even to this day. They're strewn probably in New York or Dallas. You never know, you'll find them. And they're just assimilated in. They're no longer Jewish. You know, they're just perverts. They're just, you know, regular type people. But God saved out a group called Judah, and then they messed up. How many know that even good people mess up? Even religious people are hypocrites. Okay? So you're either a bad person or you're a hypocrite. And that's quite a choice. Let's see, I think I'll be wicked. No, I think I'll pretend like I'm nice. But in the end, we're all the same. You're all the same. You just need God to take over. And you just, actually what you need is just to recognize that God's for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? So forget being a good guy, because you're not a good guy. But forget being a good guy. Just be you, whatever you are. Hypocrite, liar, thief, robber. Pastor, it doesn't make any difference. Be whatever you are, but just don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Amen. Y'all get that? Don't be making up this big baloney about how wonderful you are. Accept the fact that you are irredeemably wicked. If there wasn't any God, if there wasn't any God to watch over you and fence you in, and you know, so on, you would just simply do selfishly nasty, even if you pretended like you were a good Christian. Is everybody on the same page? You know, not. I know that psychologically, some of you still think you're good and ought to be good at least, but you're no good. So, bottom line, Garden of Eden, first story in the book, over. Nobody made it. Eve ate the apple, gave it to the husband. He ate the apple. That's the way it goes. Women always lead men into sin. It's a standard story. It's a standard story. I might have exaggerated a little bit there. I don't know. At any rate, first story isn't very, you know. That's true. There it is. She's right. It's Adam's fault. He listened to his wife. That's it. You're right. You're absolutely right. So women sin quickly and easily, and men listen to their wives. So, you know, there you have it. us, if it weren't for the women, I don't think Adam would have fallen. All right, so you got the story is we are evil people, selfish, self-oriented, you know, care only for ourselves. But that's all right. God is the key to the whole thing, not you. It isn't how good you are, how bad you are, which tree you eat of, if you eat of the fruit or whatever. It's just whether God's any good. And if your parent, if God likes you, he's on your side, you can't mess up. Even if you mess up, he'll pay. Even if you go off wrong, he will bring it back. So that gives me a little bit of flexibility, a little bit of freedom, is to know that God, when he gets mad, he's not really mad at you. He's just mad at what you did. Do you all know the difference? When you mess up, don't get on yourself. Don't start picking on yourself. Don't feel bad. You know, just go, well, I did it. Well, I did it. You know. Maybe you did it consciously, maybe you did it, you know, without thinking. Doesn't make any difference. You did it. And God, fix it. It's your job now. Take over. And God loves that freedom that he has, because he won't just barge in on you, but he wants that freedom to say, want me to fix it? And you go, yep, I can't. I tried. I'm making it worse. You know, it was bad when I first started. You know, it was all clean, and then I messed it up, and now I'm trying to fix it, and it's getting worse. Has anybody ever had one of those? And so there just comes a point where you just blow it off and go, there's plan B. You know, where I need to do something else because this is not working. Now, Israel was like that. She was the only people on the earth that God loved and cared for and, you know, tried to teach Israel the good ideas, you know, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, and so on and so forth. But she never did it from the heart. She was always fake. She was always phony, or she was just openly licentious, wicked, nasty, bad. So God had a program there to try to have one people at least on the earth that belonged to him. But that failed. He failed in that one. So he went, well, scratch that. Scratch that. There ain't no good people out there. But God at least thought, okay, I'll kill off the northern tribes. How many know the north is the problem? It's the Yankees coming down here. I mean, Texas was okay, but the Yankees all started coming down. I'm a Yankee. And so, you know, we came down and screwed it up. But it was okay before. No, the South was hypocritical. The South was more religious, but full of hypocrites. How many here are from the South? Basically hypocrites. So, you know, Dallas is right in the middle of all that. Lots of churches, lots of bars. It's a hypocrisy. You know, all those people that go to churches also go to the bars. You know, see, they just pretend like, you know, they're not really looking at the magazine or they're not really surfing the internet or they're whatever. And there's a double standard there. People are friendly on the outside, but deep down inside, they're just for themselves. Now, God is not mad that... God is not mad at you. Now, he doesn't want you to do that. You know why? You know why God doesn't want you to do all that? It's because it's not going to work. It will not produce happiness. If you go to those bars, they're not happy. You know, they're just there for whatever reasons. But they're not, yes, of course, they have pleasure for a season. You always have, you know, a little relief from your guilt or from your, you know, boredom or whatever. But in the end, you're not happy until you come to Jesus. And it's like, what do I need him for? Well, he's the truth. He's the only one that really likes you. He's the one that's on your side. Actually, it's how you got into the world, whether you know it or not. He's the one keeping you alive, whether you know it or not. He's the one that loves you, whether you know it or not. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that the most important thing in my life, I didn't. I'll just be personal. I never knew God was what I wanted or needed. So, but once you get a hold of that, is that God really loves you and he's a real God. I didn't think there was a God. You know, I mean, maybe I was, but I didn't think there really was a God, real God. Have you ever kind of put him to the test to see, okay, God, if you're really there, then give me an A on this test or whatever, and you flunk, you know, whatever. Well, I didn't study, but come through. And he doesn't do it. You might as well have picked a four-leaf clover or something. You know, it just doesn't come through. So I didn't think there was a God, but that didn't mean there wasn't. That was just my thought. And I liked it. I like not having a God. There's a good reason to not have a God. It's because then you can do what you want. And you don't have to feel guilty and bogged down. However, it doesn't really lead to happiness. I always thought it would. I always thought if I could do everything I want to do, I'll be happy. Has anybody else discovered that you can do everything you want to do and you're not happy? And it isn't just because God's making you feel guilty. It's just because you ain't happy. You get what you want and it's not what you want. Has anybody discovered that? Anyway, Israel, I'm back to Israel. Israel messed up. Judah, those were the southerners. They were the ones God said, now don't you goof up like your sister. But she did. So the south, the north, it's all the same. No difference. And so God does not want to punish Israel. A lot of people hate Israel. Bunches of people today hate them. Hate Israel, want her thrown into the sea. But actually, God likes Israel. He likes Israel. Doesn't like what they do. Doesn't like their behavior. Doesn't like their attitude. You know, but he likes Israel. And, because he's God, he knows everything. We were talking about that. You know, does God know everything? Yeah, he knows everything. And he knows that sooner or later, Israel will stop being stubborn and bad, and will turn back to him. How many know that you've gone through a period of your life like that, where you just did your own thing, but you'd kind of in the back of your mind, I'll probably someday return to God or something. You know, and I, you know, 1929, a lot of people, when the stock market crashed, jumped out windows. Did you ever hear that? I mean, they just jumped out of windows. I mean, they just couldn't take it. But down in Texas, they just take the bullhorns off of their Cadillac and go back home, go back to church. Did you notice that? 73, when the oil crisis came and so on. A lot of Texans who were worth millions and millions of dollars, they just simply, you know, say, well, lost all that. Well, I think I'll go back to my little Methodist church in East Texas or whatever. And so people didn't jump out of windows. So it's just a different way of thinking. So God is not after punishing us. He's never, ever, 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 ever wanted to punish anybody. It's like a parent. It's like a parent. He always wants to bless. The only thing he has in his mind is bless. So I can use this picture. But God, the Lord of heaven and earth, in charge of everything, he's got all the smarts, got all the power, got everything. He's got it all. It's all his. He made it. He controls it. He's going to judge it. He's the top guy. He likes you. He likes you. So let's just call this guy down here, let's just call this the church. You know, us. People. But it doesn't have to be just the church. It could be anybody. God wants everybody to get into the blessing. God has never, ever, ever, ever hated anybody. It's not hating. Now, I know what it says in the Bible, but forget what you think it says, even though it says what you think it says. I hate Esau. He doesn't hate Esau. I know what it says. I know it says he hates Esau, but that doesn't mean that's what it means. Now, I'm not being tricky. I'm just telling you that's not what it means. Or, I hated Pharaoh. He doesn't hate Pharaoh. He's actually, God desires not the death of any sinner. That's another scripture. So put that next to God hates Esau and figure it out. Is why does he say he doesn't desire the death of any sinner, and at the same time he says, I hate? Because he doesn't mean hate. He's just talking about something else. I don't want to explain it right now. I'm just telling you, you're reading it wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Language is interesting. Language is interesting. So, yes, he hates Esau's choice. I didn't hate Esau. As a matter of fact, he kept trying to win Esau. Because God's hung up on people. He likes people. And he would like to have a church on earth, not everybody, because he already knows everybody's not going to go for it. He doesn't make anybody do it. He knows by foreknowledge, he already knows that some people aren't going to join his family. They're going to perish. But he doesn't want that. No father, no mother wants their children to be harmed, to lose out. They want them to succeed. They want them to be happy. Amen? I mean, that is, we being evil, we even know that. We know that is, you know, even if we're selfish, we still want our kids as part of our selfishness to do okay. Right? Now, don't mistake that for love. It could be just you living through your kids. But that's okay. So, you can call it love. You can call it what you want. But the truth is, there's times when you want for you. And then you learn. You're not quite as magnanimous and as self, you know, less as you imagine yourself to be. But thank God most of us have the illusion that we do love other people, because that at least we don't steal hubcaps all the time. We're not always out doing bad. So when God saw, this is the king right here, Artaxerxes in this case. The king is, it represents one of God's tools, one of God's, you know, how he blesses. So God always uses people to bless people. Now he can do it without people, but he likes to use people. How many know that God wants to use people, like a husband to bless a wife, or parents to bless children, or Pastor Jim to bless you? God's always into people. But he always picks leaders so that after he kind of, you know, gets them under his thumb, then he uses them to bless others. In order to bless others, you got to stop taking care of yourself totally, which would mean you'd have to think that if I have everything, it's easy to give away something. But if I'm broke, I want to get for myself first. So a leader should be somebody who's not broke. A leader should be somebody who's so blessed because he was first blessed, that then he can bless others because he has no needs. So you don't want to be a pastor if you're needful. You know, if you're lustful or you're greedy or you've got an ego problem or something, you don't want to be a pastor. Or you don't want to be a husband if you're just sweating your own needs and trying to get them, because no wife is going to be cool about that. You know, she's going to want to get, you know, get some love or something. How many wives think you can get love from a husband? You know, well, that's an illusion. Husbands do not produce love. They may be channels from God, because the source of everything is right here. This is the source. This is where it all starts, right here. I'm sorry, I don't have a high opinion of what you can do or what you as a tool could do to bless somebody else. You're basic. Does everybody know you're sinful, basically? Wicked, nasty, selfish. Okay, as long as you have that down. You're not punished for that. You're not punished for that. You're just chastened for that so that God can orient you to another way, which is let God forgive you if you mess up, and then let him bless you, because that's his whole idea. So God never punishes, he only chastens. Chastens means he'll spank you, but only for your good, only for hope. In other words, you've got troubles in your life only to develop character. Now, how many can think of just one trouble in their life right now? You know, something overwhelming, bigger than you, something that you can't handle, you know, in your normal brilliance and greatness. You can't just, you know, pull it off. How many have something like that in your life? Yeah, that's good. And that's good for you because that's the first time when you're teachable. Otherwise, you can't be taught because you're a smart aleck. You think you know everything. You think you can do everything. You think you're God. You think you're great. But when you get a trouble, it's like, okay, I can handle it. And then after a while, you're messing it up so bad, it goes like, well, okay, well, I can't handle it. And God goes, well, you want to talk to me? No. No, I'll keep trying. Okay, the next day comes again. How you doing? Well, not so hot. But I don't want to talk to you yet. But then in a little while you say, okay, all right, what? Let's talk it over. Maybe I do need some help. I'm basically a little God, but probably not as big as I thought I was. So God reduces his tools after a while to the right size. So that, you know, he always blesses the tool before he blesses the church. He always blesses the husband before he blesses the wife. I want to tell you something here. He always blesses the one he's going to use before he blesses the one that he's ultimately wanting to bless. Now, that makes sense, because why would God want you to bless somebody else if you weren't blessed yourself? And how could you bless them if you weren't first blessed? Because then you'd be needful, and you couldn't be blessing someone else because you didn't have anything. You can't save a drowning person if you yourself are drowning. You know, you need a boat or an inner tube or something. Or you need to get strong or get behind them and conk them out and carry them in. You have to be more powerful, more... So God always blesses the one that he's going to use to bless others first. The channel gets the rain first before the grass. I mean, so the rain comes down the pipe and the pipe gets moisted first. So all of the water doesn't go out. Some of it, first of all, blesses the channel that God uses. So here's God's channel, the king, the pastor, the husband, the, you know, whoever. Some kind of leader, some kind of person that God is preparing, and he wants every one of us to do that. Everyone here, whether you're whoever you are, everyone can be a leader for somebody else. Everyone here can be loved first, and then we love because he first loved us, right? We love because he first loved us. So it's easy for this guy to love if first he's loved. He can love only if first he's loved. So God is the one that first of all has to take care of us, and you have to be certain of it. I am. I'm certain of it. I'm certain I don't. Now, that doesn't mean I don't sometimes take too much water. You know, when it comes down the little pipe there, sometimes I block it and keep it all. How you doing, Peg? Little drip. Could you give me a drip? No. So I'll just be honest on that. Sometimes the pipe here clogs up and not a lot gets through. So you can see that the President of the United States sometimes cares more for his own agendas than ours. Not supposed to do it, but that's the way it happens. Sometimes the elected official, sometimes the pastor, sometimes the husband, sometimes your parents, sometimes your leader, whoever he is, may actually be stealing some of the stuff, too much of it, and only a trickle gets out. But the idea basically was the majority of the blessing should go to the one who is the ultimate beneficiary. So here's God's original purpose here. Here's his original purpose, his original intent. Here's what God wants from his heart. I'll make a little heart here. Right there in God's heart. There's his original purpose or intent. What does he want? Well, he wants to bless this person right here. Okay? So he wants to bless this person here. He wants to love this person. But he doesn't start by just directly loving. He loves this person to send love over to this person. Let's say this is a child. The way he gets the love to the child is through the parent. Now, some parents are bad parents, so the kid doesn't get much. That happens. It's okay. It's like my mom tried to abort me, but that's so what? I made it. Other kids don't make it. You know, they do get aborted. They get wiped out. There's probably some of you have done that, aborted a child, so that's murder. You know, pretend like it was, you know, something else. It's just convenient for you to get rid of that thing. That was why my mom thought, this little kid's going to ruin my life, so I'm out of here with him. And it didn't work, to which I'm thankful. Well, I'm totally thankful about that. I'm really thankful, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. So apparently, though my mom tried to block the blessing, God blocked the block. And, you know, my mom ended up liking me. She likes me now. My mom likes me. And I like my mom. Especially when, you know, she doesn't clog it up. So, at any rate, I'm able, as a recipient of all blessing, because you got to be here first before you can be one of these guys. You can't be a king or a ruler or a blesser or a husband or anything unless you yourself are blessed immeasurably. If a man says, "Well, I got my needs," well, then you're pathetic, because then you shouldn't have gotten married. If you got your needs, now every guy that I know marries immature. So I didn't know that. I mean, I know that now, but I didn't know that when I first got started. I was totally into me and not into anybody else, totally. But you know, I didn't like everything Peggy did, because she didn't totally honor me and respect me and worship me. That bothered me. I mean, I was a decent kind of person, I thought, in my own mind. I thought it'd be great being married to me. But she didn't have that idea, and she still doesn't have that idea. It's just like, you know, it's kind of like a burden. And anybody else know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's a guy thing. And so the unreliability of a guy just dawns on the woman about 10 minutes after she's married. Dawns on her. You know, maybe I messed up. Well, let me help you out. I did. Your first thing was that you married a man. That was your first mistake right there. Should have got a parakeet or something like that. So, anyway, but women are no better because they're dumb enough to marry a man. So it just shows that's their own mistake, their own stupidity, and they have to admit that to themselves. It's, you know, well, I guess it's my fault too. I married the guy. So God, as I said, his idea, his intent, this is important now. This is the only, in fact, this is the only thing I want to say. The important thing about God is he always wins. If he intends something, it always happens. So, all I need to know is not how good this guy is or how loved I am. All I need to know is whether God loves me. That's all I need to know. Because if he does, I'm going to get it. If he does, he will find a way through all my sin, through all somebody else's sin, whatever, with all the troubles and problems in the world, he will find a way to win. Because he always wins. Therefore, since God always wins, his original intent is absolutely determined. There's no possibility of failure on his part. No possibility. All I need to know then is whether his intention includes me. Am I the beneficiary, and can I be defeated? Is there any way I can be destroyed? If his intent always happens without fail, he's never going to change his mind. He can't like, I liked you at first, but now I don't like you anymore. If that's God, then he's arbitrary and we're in big trouble. But if he's fixed, if he's obligated himself to say, my love is without any condition at all, and I've got all the power and all the smarts and everything, I got it all, I'm going to win. If you know that about God, it makes you happy. It puts a smile on your face. So this guy could have a big smiley face, and he could be happy because he knows there's no way God's going to fail and there's no way I'm going to be destroyed. Now, I actually believe that. I believe I will always win. I believe all things work together for my good. Is there anyone else in this room that believes that? I always win. Not because I'm any good. I am not any good. I will mess up my own blessing. If it were up to me, I would probably, you know, miss the thing. I'd screw it up. I'd mess it up. I'd blow it. But I know what? God is not, he's not even impressed with my good or my bad. My bad doesn't scare him off. My good doesn't impress him. He doesn't care about all that. He just likes me. He totally likes me. Does anybody know that? Do you get that down? For God so loved the world, he gave, you know. Do you know that God loves the world? Not just Christians. He loves everybody. He loves the bad people. He loves the nasties. Now, if God intends something, and if the devil or your sin or circumstances could stop him, if he's not really God, then you're in trouble. But if God intends something, and he never fails, and he will get exactly what he intended in the first place, whatever was in his heart, he's going to have that happen. And I'm the only thing that he cares about. I mean, he's made that known to me. One way or another, he has made known to me through the Bible. I'll draw a little Bible here. He's made through the Bible. I read his Bible, and sure enough, he's made known to me that I'm his beloved. I mean, I'm just exclusively the designated beneficiary. I'm the guy, you know, he designates. Yeah, you're the one. Me, I'm the one he's looking for. He really, personally, is on my side. That is cool. He writes me a love letter and says, "Dear Jim, I've rigged the whole world just to bless you." Cool. Now, you don't have to believe that. If you don't believe it, that's your choice. If you do believe it, that everything in my life, everything, even the bad stuff, even my own sin, even the devil himself, everything's working for my good. And I'll give you the scripture. All things work together for the good. All things work together for the good. All includes my sin, the devil, the world, you know, everything. The world, the devil, the flesh, all of that doesn't sweat God one bit. He just blows those guys over. It's like anything in life, there's always resistance to anything of value. If something has value, someone's going to be there to mess it up or wreck it or stop it or hinder it. You know, if $100 is coming your way, the government will take away 10 of it or something, you know, 20 of it, 30 of it. How much do they take these days? You know, but somebody's going to try to steal it. Somebody's going to be there. If you got anything, if you have any assets at all, someone's there to grab it. to take it. You know, they may not take all of it because they want you to keep going, so they sustain you a little bit, but they want to take as much as they can possibly get. The guy who sells you gas, the guy who's, you know, giving you food at the store, everybody's trying to get as much as they can possibly get out of your take. Amen? But God guarantees you can't lose. If God be for you, who can be against you? Isn't that neat, Lynn?
That's so powerful.
Then if I mess up, and I have, I've messed up so many times, so what? And if other people are nasty and trying to get me, so what? And if people don't know who I am and don't like me because they do, it's so what? And if the whole world is rigged and it's all rigged in my favor, it doesn't really matter what people think. Now, if you don't believe that, and I don't blame you for not believing that, because there's a lot of evidence to the contrary, but I do believe that. I believe when God says He totally loves me, and it's just personal, I can't prove it. I'm just telling you, that's what I believe. Maybe I'm messed up. Maybe my head is just crazy. I'm naive, stupid. But so what? I am. I'm naive and stupid because I believe that. I believe God's totally for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? I just believe God's for me. I believe He's totally on my side. I think all that thing about Jesus on the cross and all that stuff, which I don't have a clue as to what all that is, but whatever it is, I think it's for me. I think He was trying to tell me, for God so loved the world, that includes me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Does anybody else have that down like I do? I mean, I've got that down. I mean, and the way you can prove that is if everything comes against you, it doesn't bother you. That's how you can prove it. I laugh when people oppose me or destroy me or undermine me or emasculate me or whatever they try to do. Go for it, because you ain't going to win. Because my dad's up in heaven. He's got the thing rigged. Got it made. So I keep myself built up. Is anybody else right where I am on that? I'd like to know if there's even one other person in here that... one, thank you. Two liars beside myself. Three, okay. Very good. You really believe that, Bill? You believe everything is going your way? You don't believe anything can oppose you and stop you? Okay. It's good, because once you start believing that, you can go bananas over that. It can mess your mind up big time. It's like, I thought God was for me. Look at this. Well, that's just a test. It's not a serious thing. It's just a test. You're just being chastened. He's just testing you out to see whether you'll rejoice or whether you'll get gripey and complainy and moany and, you know, depressed. I mean, people get depressed. Have you ever noticed people depressed around you? They get weighed down, bogged down. They can't even do their work because they're too preoccupied with problems. You know, starts with the dog, you know, just everything goes wrong. You know, even you know, and you know, you just don't get it. And it's like, no, God's totally for you. Everything, even the dog, is on your side. Now, I know I'm a long way from Ezra, but this is really about Ezra. It's just I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm talking about you, because otherwise Ezra doesn't mean a hill of beans. I could tell you all about the history of Ezra, and I will. But really, unless you see what it is that Ezra's all about, Ezra was a tool like this king to bless Israel, the church, the people of God. And it was open to anybody. Anybody could join the Jewish people. Anybody could have joined them. Now, they were the big mess-ups. They were supposed to be God's holy people, just like the church today. The church is a mess. It isn't just the world that's out there. The world that's out there is just kind of a reflection of how we are in here. I don't blame the world for doing what they're doing. I blame us for not being a light, for not being any, you know, any different. They gripe, we gripe. You know, we are supposed to be the ones rejoicing at all times if we believe this. You know, if you believe that God loves you unconditionally, with no condition, no matter what happens, God's totally, you know, for you, and you cannot lose, because sooner or later He will have you perfected just like His Son. You'll look just like Jesus. How many know that when you're all done, you're going to look just like Jesus? This is not a bad deal. No matter what you have to go through, yeah, of course you have to go through some fire and some affliction and some suffering and some problems and some troubles. But they're just tests. It's kind of like those little sirens that go, and I don't know if you have them over here. We got them in Fort Worth. They blare out and so on and so forth. And they don't ever mean anything, but, you know, they're there in case an alien comes or something. I don't know what they're for. Russians are going to fly over or something. And then they do something to wake you up. Well, it's God is trying to tell you something. It's just a test. It's not serious. It usually comes on at a certain time of the day and so on. Say, oh, yeah, that's that siren thing. You can't think for a few minutes because the thing is blaring right at you. I hate those things. I've often thought of chopping them down. I mean, just I hate them because they make a lot of noise. But apparently they're for my good. Apparently they're for my good. They're going to help me in case a Martian invasion or something like that. All things work together for my good. So you relax. You know, if that's true, if everything's working together for my good, I can relax. I can leave the little pole standing. I don't have to worry about it. How many are worriers? How many are worriers? So worried, you don't want to raise your hand. You know, you worry. You worry a lot. You know, you think a lot, trying, I can't please everybody, can't please everybody, can't please everybody. You can't please anybody. Stop trying. Stop trying. You cannot please your husband, your wife, your children. I don't care who you're trying to please. You can't do it. So just quit that. Please God. He's real easy. You know why? You know why it's so easy to please God? He already likes you. I mean, even if you messed up, he'd like you. It's just like a little baby, you know? Doesn't matter what that baby does, the parent just likes that little kid. Sometimes little kids are ugly. You ever notice that? When a little kid comes out, sometimes they look like, I don't know who, but they look all kind of scrunched up and ugly. And they look, and the mother says, isn't she pretty? And you look at it, it looks awful. You know, this little baby come from you? And they're just, I remember our first daughter when she was born. She's a pretty girl. But I remember when she was born, she looked like Edward G. Robinson all scrunched up. You know, and I was like, God, do we produce that? Will that ever amount to anything? Will those little wrinkles and, you know, scratches on her and stuff like that, will ever go away? So you have an ugliness to you, but don't go by that. Just blow that off. Everything's going your way. It all turns out. Amen? So God's love, his original purpose. Now, I mean, you don't even know what his original heart or purpose or plan or will or pleasure is until he reveals it, until he makes it known to you. I'm telling it to you. It's my job. I'm kind of like the Bible. I'm talking what's written down. I'm just talking it. God loves you, 100%. You are the most blessed people. You could even say that to yourself. I am incredibly blessed. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da. You know, everything, every day, all the time. The devil, he's going my way. People that hate me, that's going my way. All my sin, that's going my way. Everything's for my good. Did you know that you could learn from anything? Even negative things, bad things, all things work together for the good. All things includes bad things. Did you know that even bad things are training you? They're teaching you to go to the Lord. I would never turn to God if I didn't have problems. I wouldn't need the guy. I would, you know, if the toaster didn't break down, I wouldn't even pray. I mean, it's just when things go wrong, better. You know, I have to go to God. You know, I'm not excited about doing it, but I've tried everything else. I tried pills and pastors and, you know, I've just tried everything, and it's kind of, well, God, it's down to you. Remember that verse, seek ye last the kingdom of God? You know, it's like, well, so serious right now I have to come to you. I hate admitting it, but I probably need you. You know, could you do something upstairs? So God is waiting for his people, for his children, not to be good. He doesn't want you to be good. You're not good, so he doesn't want that. What he wants is for you to believe he's good. I don't know if you heard what I just said. Well, most people feel that God wants you to be good. He doesn't. But when he calls you good, what he means is believe that he's good. What's good about you is when you recognize he's good. Did you get that? What's good about you is not that you're any good. He didn't even care about that. He never thought you would produce one thing. He didn't think that. What he thought is, it'd be good if Jim were under me, but he's not going to ever get under me. So I'll just kill the guy and I can use him. So that's basically what he does, right? He just kills your old personality, your old person, and says, "What are you doing, Jim?" "Well, I'm just trying to get for me." He says, "Well, is it working?" "Nah, not so hot." "But, well, why don't you let me help?" "No, I don't want to submit to you because you'll ruin my life." "Well, I know, but how's your life going?" "Not so hot." "Well, Jim, you're not thinking right. If you're in charge and you're God and you're, you know, replacing me, if it's working, great. But if it's not working, you might want to check with me because I think I have all the power and everything and so on. You want to check with me?" "No, I'll be fine. I was handling it on my own." "Okay, well, let me know if you bog down." "Well, okay, I'll probably bog down." All right. "Okay, what do you got?" "Well, I just want you to know I love you." "Oh, okay, good. What are you going to do?" And God is totally into you. There is no God that's into himself. God never did one thing in this world. He didn't create the world for himself. He didn't create this world for a turtle. He created it for you. Everything in the world is for you. It's just like when a little kid comes home and the crib is there and the room is painted and everything. Everything's for the little kid. The whole house is being totally reoriented to that little kid. You have to put locks on the things and so they don't get into bad stuff. And you just have to reorient your whole house for that little kid. And the kid is just zero. He's just a nothing. But everything is for that little child. That's the way it is. And the mom suddenly becomes powerful because, you know, she's got to protect that little kid because the dads are pretty irresponsible. They're not and always attentive. Now, I'm not saying all dads are that way, but a lot of dads are just kind of like, duh. You know, and the mom's got to be, she got to stay up all night. Peggy, when the little children would cry, I go, "Peg, get up. That child's crying." "Well, you get up." "Me? I'm the dad. That's not a man thing. I can't do that. I mean, I'm sleeping." And so, you know, I marvel that Peg would get up, you know, just drag up. And then the diaper thing and I don't know, the whole thing's too much for me. I just put them in a tub, hose them down every once in a while or something like that. I just couldn't, I don't have the patience. A woman, to me, amazes me. That they have all this incredible patience. Have you ever noticed that about women? Incredible. They're just long standing, whether it's a grudge or whatever. They're long standing. Oh, I didn't mean to throw that in. But, you know, they're just, a guy is more quick. Guys are just quick. Bottom line, you know, what? Okay, no, yes, you know, that's a guy. And then he's over right away. I mean, he's finished. You know, he's not for this long-standing romantic evening. He's just for quick, over, thank you. Okay, now let's do something else. So that's a guy. You all understand? That's the way God made us. God made guys kind of like that. So we're, you know, we have our value too. Now, God is for you. Nobody's more loved. Men are not more loved than women. Women are not better than men. We're all the same, right? Y'all get this? It's just God's humor that he made men and women. That's kind of humorous. And then what's really humorous is he puts the man in charge. I mean, if there's one silly mistake, it's to put a man in charge. All right, you'll be the head. And every woman knows right off, don't let him be in charge. He does not know what he's doing. He hasn't taken care of me at all. Doesn't even care for me. And so, and that's true of guys. Huh? What? You know, and guys just don't, they're clueless. Does any woman ever hear married one of those guys? They're clueless. It's just like, what do you mean you don't understand? You know, a guy goes, "Well, I don't know what you mean." That is cool. Well, that means dead. Because guys are just totally oblivious to what the rules are and what's supposed to be going on. I didn't have a clue when I got married. I had no clue as to what it was all about. And I hated the idea that she wanted me to say I love you every day. It's like, I'm German. Germans don't do that. My mom and dad never said that kind of stuff. I don't think they did. I never saw them hug or anything. I just never saw it because we're German. Y'all understand? You don't see the humor of that. But So God has rigged the whole world to say, how can I take people like I made and then work out my purposes, which can't fail? Even though there's a devil and there's a world and there's a flesh and there's circumstances and everything, all kinds of things could mess God up. He never loses. Al-Qaeda doesn't mean anything to him, and, you know, mafia doesn't mean anything to him. Nothing means anything to God. It's kind of like, it's okay. They're subordinate. I'm in charge. So God, who's in charge, puts this guy in charge. He says, I'll make you the head. You know, you'll reflect me. I'm the head of the head. This is the head, you know, up here, head. So I'm in charge, and I'll make you my representative head to bless this right here, which will be a child or a wife or a, you know, an employee or a, you know, church member or whatever. Just whoever needs to be blessed. So it's my job for God to destroy me first, meaning take away my selfishness, take away my natural inclinations. I've overcome a lot of my natural sin, but not all. Has anybody seen a few that I left? You know, because I work on them piecemeal. I don't want to do them wholesale. I just kind of work on some. So the one you're thinking, I haven't finished yet, you're right. I haven't gotten to that one, and I probably will get to that later. So he said, Pastor Jim, I saw a sin in you the other day. You know, you didn't teach right. Oh, God. You know, it's like, what minister teaches right? And you're going to look for a church where the minister teaches everything right? The only way you could do that is if you read out of the Bible all the time. But even that wouldn't do it. Because you're just reading it, it still needs to be interpreted. What if he read, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees? You know, you don't. I don't know how the thing works. I'm amazed that God would use me as a head. It's always kind of like a joke to me. Like, me, a good husband, me, a good father, me, a good pastor, me, a good whatever. I'm just disqualified. Most guys know that. Most guys know that they're disqualified. Could I have a show of hands of the guys and know that? It's like, well, I'm not all that hot. In fact, I don't even know how I succeed at all. In fact, it's amazing to me that things even go my way at all. Because, you know, some guys work hard, but a lot of guys are lazy. A lot of guys are just always looking for the TV or the beer or whatever to try to get out of whatever the thing is. Where are you going? Just need to, you know, you need to be in the backyard raking leaves. I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. You know, so guys are inventive. Guys are inventive. Guys can really invent excuses. You know what I mean? And, well, you do it. I always felt like Peg was just a wonderful partner to do everything. You know, we'll just kind of pick up on that. See, just if I mess up, fix it. But that's really God's job. It's not the beneficiary's job to fix up a bad head, to fix up a lousy. So you don't have to help me out to make me look good. I wish you would, but it's probably not going to happen. So. Just pray for me. God, kill him. Something along that line. Get him so that he will be a better servant, a better, you know, whatever he's supposed to be doing, let him do it. So God, this is not the issue. This guy is not the issue. This guy is not the issue. The issue is God. Does he or does he not have the power, the capacity to finish whatever he starts? And does he always do it? Does he evolve, or does he get his original idea without any alteration? Maybe God's an evolution, you know, Darwinist guy, and he's shifting all the time. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that, well, God is changing. He used to be the mean God of the Old Testament, then he got kind of nice in Jesus in the New Testament. Now he's kind of a modernist and so on and so forth. No, God is the same. He's always the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes his mind. That's why he's God. He knows the end from the beginning. He's not in time. He's not in space. God is here, but he's not here like here. And you can't see him. You know, like, I didn't mean to step on your toe or something. He's not sitting here. How many know that God is invisible? He's not corporeal. He doesn't have any, you know, substance to him like that. So he's spiritual. So, but God is not in time and space, so he knows everything, He has everything. He always wins. And he's just trying to get that to us. Is, don't worry about it. I don't care. Stop griping and complaining and feeling sorry for yourself and beating up on other people and trying to control the guy that's supposed to be blessing you. Stop it. Just relax. All things are working together for your good. Does anybody get a hold of that? Because that would save you a lot of trouble. How many know that a woman cannot control a man? There's no way. You can't control. Men are uncontrollable. They're wild. They're just, you know, try as you may. I mean, you can cry. And I fall for that for about 3 seconds. But I'm just like, hey, shape up. What the blubbering? What are you doing? You know, it doesn't really move me that much. But I every once in a while I do, I get, oh, I feel bad for about a second. But then I recover. And so I'm just not into that play acting stuff. Peg, you're just sounding like Sarah Bernhardt or something. Stop it. You know, what's your problem? What is it?
Well, it's you.
But that takes 45 hours to get to that, to find out what it is that's at the bottom of everything. I mean, you know that women don't communicate, bottom line. Peg, what's the problem? You, I want to kill you. You know, it's just not like that. She'll say it slowly. And she doesn't, like, kill me. She just, like, kind of knifes at me over and over again until I bleed 1,000 cuts. Peg, what are you doing? I'm just killing you a little at a time. They're like tenderizing meat. But, you know, in the end, she can't do that because God likes me. I mean, God likes me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I wouldn't if I were God, but he's crazy. So he likes me, and he likes you. He likes you in spite of everything he knows about you, in spite of everything, blah, blah. He loves you. Now, this intent of God and this ultimate purpose of God are the same. Whatever God intends cannot be destroyed. Whatever God, you know, purposes ultimately must happen, will happen, absolutely, if you believe. Now the condition then is you'd have to believe that. Now, he's not going to make you do it. You see, he's not going to make you believe that he's good. Somebody say, well, God, if you really love me, you would do thus and so. How many have tried that one? God, if you really love me, you'll do the. He's not going to do it. Not going to do it. He does love you, and he's not going to prove it. I'm sorry. If you believe, you'll see. But if you wait to see in order to believe, he won't do it. All right, God, if you'll just stick your hand right out of the cloud right now, I'll believe. If you'll just have my wife lose 300 pounds right now, you know, whatever. Whatever the thing is, I'm not going to do it. It's not going to change the world to make you happy. It's not going to kill the devil to make you happy. It's not going to remove your problems to make you happy. I'm not into your happiness. Happiness is a byproduct. It's a gift. You start trusting God, you'll be smiley face. You'll be happy. I'm always happy. I'm always happy. I'm not depressed. I'm not a griper. Peggy can tell you, I don't gripe. I don't get mad at people. I want to kill them, yes, but I mean, other than that, I'm okay with people. In other words, let people be whatever they are. Whatever they are is whatever they are. I don't want anyone to fix up or change or improve. I won't be happy because things change. Can you ever feel that tension inside of you, like, things would just change? I wish that weren't there. I don't feel like that. I don't really care. Let it be whatever it is. Let it be worse. Let it be 1,000 times worse. My God, who loves me, personally guarantees to me, told me, I'm going to win. That's it. I'm going to win. He's going to have his way. How many know that in the end, he will have a church, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? She's going to be perfect. Perfect bride. Now, here's what he tells me. He said, Jim, I want you to know that your wife, your church, your world, is exactly the way I want it to be. Don't worry about it. It doesn't look that way, but don't go by looks. You submit to Peggy. You love Peggy just the way she is, as though she was perfect, as though she looked perfect. She is perfect, but she doesn't look perfect. Well, you can say that again. She does not look perfect. I mean, the way she yells at me sometimes and emasculates me and undermines me and fails to support me the way I told her to do. You know, she's not perfect. Isn't that amazing, Lou? Peg's sometimes critical of me. Hey, why'd you tell the lady that? Why didn't you tell her I was great? Because you're not. You know, that's critical of me. And so you should build me up. It's in the Bible. She doesn't follow the Bible at all. She does what the Bible says. And when she does, it's mechanical. It's outward. It's not genuine from the heart. So I have a lot of things I could say. But you see, God says, Jim, don't worry about her. It's just you and me. You don't worry about where she is. It's just us. You know, take care of this, and you'll be fine. You mean I can just turn my back on my problems, turn my back on my own sins, turn my back on everything, just focus on you, and I'll be happy? That's it. Y'all caught on to that? I don't need a good wife. And that is looking. I don't care what she looks like or acts like or feels like or says like. Let her say whatever she wants to say. God gave me the perfect wife, and that's the way it is. God guarantees everything, and I may not see it. I may not understand it. I may not understand why my parents, you know, why did my mother, you know, have me out of wedlock? Why did my second father take off after a couple of years? Why did my third father look like Adolf Hitler? Who cares? Who cares? The main thing is you're here. And you got a God that loves you. I survived. Now when I went back and I met my real father, who's now dead, when I met him, I realized why it was good that he was only a one-night stand. I realized, you know, thank God my mother did not stay with you. You wouldn't have liked her. She's not like you're picturing. Because he pictured her in a yellow dress and, you know, real pretty and so on and so forth. And she's not so pretty anymore. And she's mean anyway. My mom's mean. And so on. I like my mom. I'm just telling you, people are under illusions. They don't marry people, they marry illusions. Anybody here ever get married and you found out the person you married wasn't the person you thought you were marrying? It's like, who are you? Well, who are you? I don't know. I don't know who I am, and I don't know who you are. I just know, you know, I just know there's no heaven on earth. I'm screwed. I'm loud stuff. All right. But God says, oh, don't make those conclusions. Get your eyes off this other person. Get your eyes off this person. Put your eyes on the Lord. There's your salvation. See, you don't get to control anything. Have you noticed that? You're not such a big shot. You're not such a, like, you know, I'm going to control my destiny or whatever. You don't control zip. You can't even add 1 inch to your stature. You can't do it. You can't get any taller than you are. You're not able to do anything. How powerful are you? You can't stop being pathetic. You can't all of a sudden be whatever. If you are what you are. If you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. How many are hypocrites? How many are non-hypocrites? You're just nasty. 1, 2. Come on. There's more mean people here than that. I got to give you another chance on that one. How many are not hypocrites? You're just a nasty person and you know it. Very good. Some of you raised your hands on both. It's good. Because we're all mixed up. But it's okay. God doesn't care. He is going to have His way, and whether you believe or not, that's up to you. And there's the only oddball thing right there. But God has guaranteed that if you put your trust in Him, you will never be disappointed. He's guaranteed that. I don't mean in heaven someday. I mean right now, today, right this minute, that Peggy is the best wife in the whole absolute world for me. She doesn't have to look like it, act like it, talk like it. I don't care. I just believe that. Why? Because I believe God. I believe God wouldn't give me the wrong church. I don't believe God would give me the wrong wife. I don't believe God would give me the wrong body, the wrong brains, the wrong anything. I believe God is not a cheater. So I'm not going to complain. That's why I'm happy. Are you all like I am? Are you the same? No gripes, no complaints, no trying to fix anything, no pretending like you're powerful and in control and all that stuff and you're brilliant. How many believe you're brilliant? I know you all do, but you may not want to say it. Everybody believes they're brilliant, you know, which is really brilliant of you to think that. You know, like, well, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm pretty sharp. I'm pretty sharp. You're not. You don't know anything. You don't even know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing. Just look at your life. Well, it looks okay to me. Yeah, well, let's talk next week. Because there's no way. You do not know what's going on. You got to check with God. He's the one that made you. He's the one that sustains you. He's the one that's going to come again and take you to Himself. God promises that if you'll trust Him, but He won't make you trust Him. He will not make you trust Him. He wrote a book that said, trust me, but He doesn't, you know, He's not going to do any more than what He wrote in the book. Kind of like, well, prove it. I did already. This is like, I put Jesus on the cross. Well, I don't know if I believe that. He's not going to help you. What He wrote, He wrote. Well, you didn't write too clear. Well, it doesn't matter. When I hated the begats. Well, it doesn't matter. He wrote what He wrote. And that's it. And now you're stuck with that. Is, oh, I don't believe you're any good. Because if you'd have been good, you'd have given us better pastors, better Bibles, you know, so on. I'm sorry. God's not going to do that. He's left it. Does that bother you, Susan? No. That's okay because, I tell you, I've read it. I like it. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that, here, I just boil it down so simple. God's love, always been love, always will be love, never has been hate, never has been angry, never has had one thought to get me. He's had only one thought in his mind. I'm going to bless Jim. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to keep him alive when his mother tries to do this, and Peggy tries to do that, and the church tries to do this. And I'll stop him. I'll protect my boy Jim. I have that idea. Isn't that crazy? It's totally selfish on my part. I'm loving it. I'm loving the fact that God loves me. He's like, I'm special to Him. Like, He doesn't like Jesus more than He likes me. That blows me away. Because I'm nothing like Jesus. I'm the bad seed. Bad little boy. I was always bad. I was always bad. When I was a little kid, I sometimes behaved good only to get my bad thing that I was after. But I was never nice. I was never nice to people. I was always thinking of myself. Is there anybody else like that in this room? Always, I mean always. I mean, I cannot think of one noble thought I ever had or one wonderful thought of, oh, I just wanted to help you. I've never had that. But I wasn't raised in church. I had no religion. I had no morals. I had nothing. So that explains me. But what about you? Did you actually think you were good? Has anybody here thought they were good? Anybody who still thinks they're good? Raise your hand. You did a little bit. Yeah. Have you found out differently? Yeah. It's hard to maintain that. Is there anyone else? Anyone else who's crazy enough to think you're a good person? Is there anybody else? My wife, Peggy. That is true. She's telling the truth right there. But she's learning. She's learning that she's not only as bad as I am, she's actually worse. I mean, I'll have to say this. My wife is actually, she's nice on the outside, pretending, faking. But on the inside, she's nasty. She's totally selfish. And I could prove that. I could demonstrate that. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's just a game. Here's what matters. God loves you. It's just the way you are. Whether you're a hypocrite or whether you're nasty, whether you're selfish or whether you're unselfish, whether you eat of the tree of good or you eat of the tree of evil, it's all the same to God. He doesn't care. The only thing is, eat of the tree of life. Good and evil means nothing. To you, it means a lot. To God, it's fake. He doesn't see any of your good. All He sees is your evil. Because He told you, don't eat of that tree. Don't be good or evil. Just trust me. Trust me that I love you, that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you might have life, not just biological life, but real life by knowing me, and have it more abundantly. Isn't that amazing? You don't have that? I mean, this is what Christianity is. It's not going to church and paying tithes and, you know, making the minister look good. You know what church is all about is you having abundant life. And do you have that? Amen. Good. Judy? An abundant life. Powerful. Powerful. Houston? Okay, that was a little slow on the uptake there. You have an abundant life, James. Perfectly. Man. See, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, blow that off, make this statement. My life's great. God is for me. Everything's going my way. Nothing ever goes against me. Even when it looks like it, it just looks like it. But it's actually in my favor. Or God's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'll tell you, you are wrong when you think that everything's going against you. That's just appearance. That's just a test. That's just simply a little fire. It won't hurt you. How many know that fire hurts flesh, but it never hurts your spirit? I mean, it'll hurt your flesh. It'll hurt your flesh. When you gripe and complain, that's your flesh. That's just your flesh. That's just your flesh. How many know that flesh is flesh? The flesh is never going to go to heaven. So the griping and complaining stays here. That doesn't bother God. You think he's bothered by the fact that you have flesh? Here's what he's saying. Trust me, and I'll even get rid of your flesh myself. You won't get rid of it, but I'll get rid of it. I'll take the flesh away. Just trust me, and then I'll take the flesh away. Well, how does he do that? How does he get me not to care about me? Easy. Because he cares for me so much that I begin to think, you know what? I don't think I could bless myself as much as he's blessed me. I can't believe how I started out and where I am. It's like, wow. And I'm not talking about outward stuff. I'm talking about me. I can't believe I would ever love my wife or love the church or love other people because I just wasn't raised that way. I wasn't born that way. But I've changed. Why? Why? It's because God's cool. God's neat. God cannot be defeated. He can never be defeated, and you can never be destroyed. If you believe that, that will change your life. That's what Ezra's all about. I didn't tell the Ezra story, but that's what Ezra's all about. He's the guy that God used, gave him a commission, said, go tell the people that even though they just got beat up and so on, I'm going to totally restore them. I'm going to have a holy people. I will not fail. I said I would use Judah, that's Jewish people. I'll use Judah, and I will use them. And so today, do you have any evidence? No, you don't have evidence. It doesn't matter. He's still going to do it. If he says he's going to use the church, which he did, then he's going to use the church. So, why are you here? You're not here because you chose to be here, though of course you may have chosen to be here. But you're here because God said, go there. It's all part of God's plan. But he doesn't force anybody. He doesn't make anybody. You have to choose to come. Even though it's his will you come, he doesn't make anybody do it. Do y'all understand? So I would like to have 3 or 4 or 5 testimonies of, Pastor, you know what? That is exactly what you just described. That's my life. That's my life. I understood what you said today. I'm going to be happy from now on no matter what. No matter what. I don't care what circumstances. I'm going to laugh at them. I'm going to blow them off. I'm going to take everything that's on my side. If I got some sin in my life, let God take care of it. I'm not going to take care of it. If there's other people sinning against me, I'm not going to try to control them or, you know, protect myself from them or whatever. Let's let it go. You take care of it. You do it. I'm not worried about it. Okay, who would like to testify like that? All right. What else? What other subject we talk about? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Powerful. You got it. That's so powerful. It's too powerful. That's powerful.
I never would have seen, but I thought the unmitigated disaster from trade turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, mm-hmm. which is nothing more than God telling me he loves me.
Yep.
He not loves me, he loves the other people who were involved.
Right. powerful.
For me not to go on believing as I do is nuts.
Yep. It's good. Yep. And you've been able to reconcile with your wife and all kinds of things. It's powerful. It's powerful. Business comes, everything. Chad, sorry. Yes. It's in a sentence. Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful, Chad. It is, and it's subtle. Subtle. That's the answer. Yeah, that sets us free. Luke.
Well, that was true for me. I wanted my husband to be better than me, and he was, but I couldn't see it because I was trying to be so good that I couldn't see where I failed so miserably. And it was so freeing when I found out I was a failure. I mean, I'm shallow and vain and all those empty, and yet I was so puffed up. And to be able to see where I really was, and that God loved me, it freed me to love Him, to love my children, to love other people, because God first loved me.
Yep.
So He loved them.
Yep.
And that was something I could zippity-doo-dah. I mean, when I learned that, I ran out and ran and leaped and praised God. Because where His grace is, we have joy.
Yeah.
If there's no joy, we haven't appropriated His grace.
You got it.
And when I found out what His grace was, I had joy. And then I could be happy every day.
Right. Yeah, and you don't mean that you didn't have the theology of that grace and joy. You mean you didn't have the experience of it, even though you had the theology.
Oh, it was in my head, and I was in all the drill. But when I actually experienced that, then I'm running and leaping and praising God. Had anything changed? No, not really.
Right.
I mean, it was all still the same rotten stuff, but. God had, I've gotten a hold of who He was.
That's it. Nothing to do with you. That's freedom. Who else? Somebody else had to end.
One thing just flew into my mind. There's a passage in one of our sessions. Our purpose is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. If I'm going to grow in understanding and effectiveness, I can't think about me.
All right.
And you're standing up there facilitating our growth and effectiveness and the understanding of the word that God wrote. Because without that, it just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Who else? Who else? There's another here. Anne.
I know God forgives me. I know that. But the hard part is forgiving myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is good. This is really, really powerful what you're saying. Forgiving yourself shows you're not taking yourself seriously. Your sin, your failure, your ignorance, whatever, it means nothing. God doesn't count it. He's already, His plan overrides that. He took that into account when He said, I love you. He already knew all that. It doesn't bother Him. So if it doesn't bother Him, don't let it bother you. And if He forgives you, you must forgive you to say, well, I didn't mean to do it. Maybe I did. Who cares? If it doesn't bother God, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to enjoy myself. That pleases God. That pleases God. But when you go, well, I got to beat myself up for a while, that's like you playing God. Stop it. Don't punish yourself. Think about it. Worry about it. You know, meditate on it. Because it'll mess you up. It's too much of a burden. Take all the burden off this beneficiary. This one can be burdened. Why? Because they already know, all I got to do is put my burdens on Jesus. So this one can take a burden because they know what to do with it. This one can't take a burden because they don't know what to do with it. So all I'm telling you is this one should be telling this one, give me all your burdens. You can't give them to Jesus, give them to me. Or the way to do it is say this. Let God have your burdens. And they're the ones helping you to carry that up here and dump it. Because you're not supposed to be worrying. not supposed to be sweating it. Every day should be heaven. Every day should be heaven. Every day can be heaven. Every day is heaven. I'm not looking forward to heaven. I'm having it. I'm already enjoying it. I'm not looking forward to some future day when everything will be great and glorious. I'm already having it now. Got the perfect wife, got the perfect church, got the perfect whatever. I don't really care. 65, almost 66 in another month or so. I'll keel over and die one of these days. So what? It's all rigged. I'm going to win anyway. The older you get, I don't know, you pay more attention, I guess, to people dying off. It seems like a lot of people are dying off, these days. And, you got to get used to it. Like, it's not a big deal. But you better have everything finished before that time. Because then it's over. I mean, God's not over, but you are, unless you put your trust in God. If you put your trust in God, you're never over. Because what the thing he intended was for you to get the kingdom, to have eternal life, to have eternal life, and all you got to do is know him and you got it. All you got to do is know him. Just know what he's like. It's just one thing, there's only one thought in your whole mind. Is God mean or is he good? That's all. That's all you need to figure out. Is God like me or does he hate me? Is God on my side or is he against me? Well, the answer is simple. He likes you, he loves you, he's for you, he's on your side, never changed his mind, he's never been mad at you, never will be mad at you. Whatever he was mad at, you put it on Jesus, that's gone. And the devil someday will get whipped and beaten and so on and so forth. But that's all for your good. If it'd be good to take the devil away today, he would, but it's not for your good. If it'd be good for you to get a new husband or a new wife, he'd let you, but he doesn't want you to. Stick it out, suffer a little bit, grow up. Hello? Yeah, it does. Aren't you glad you didn't quit? Yeah. Because you...
Yeah. Or I wanted to make...
Right, yeah. Amen. Yahoo! That is a great prayer, by the way. But it won't be answered. God's not going to do it. Please, Lord, whatever it takes. Because God's not after him, he's after you. You were the problem. See, you were the good guy, was the bad guy. And the bad guy was actually, God didn't have any weight on him.
But the problem was because you didn't know God was good.
Didn't know God was good. That's all you got to know. If God is good, then what are my problems? Nothing. Turn your back on your problems. Just laugh at them. It's nothing. It's another challenge. Another thing for God to overcome. I don't have to overcome. I don't have to solve it. I love this kind of life. Anybody else? I have a feeling there's another one. Susan.
Little things like bringing those
Amen. It's good. It's good. Praise God. Yes.
Was, you know, why they spent this money, I don't need this. And it was apparent in my reaction. And on the way to work the next day, the Lord just put in my heart the story of the alabaster box. And how my reaction was so Judas-like, looking at the value and not being blessed. So often the gift is a blessing for the giver as it is the receiver. And how so often we're so difficult to receive blessings. We actually fight it. I had to immediately call Maria and, you know, repent and ask for forgiveness. And how blessed I was and how I ruined their blessing by my interpretation of my putting a value on the gift rather than just receiving it.
Yeah.
It was just so freeing to be able to be blessed without having to value it.
It's powerful. It's powerful. You are blessed. You are blessed. If you could be more blessed, then God's a liar and he's a devil. You cannot be more blessed. You are blessed. You are missing nothing. Now, I know it doesn't look like it. Too bad. You're wrong. You're blind. You just can't see. Everything's going your way. Everything. It's the best life right now. Right where you are. Now, you know, most of you want to improve this and, you know, change that. Don't. Everything is going your way. That's the best life. I tell you, it couldn't be better. Amen? Okay, one more. I know there's another one here. Yes, Raul. Yeah? Who else? Oh. Ah, David. Yeah, Paul. David.
Well, in both cases...
I can't see. Blind, okay. Blind as a bat.
Praise God. But what they were both saying about how you were saying that in our sin that we should just give it to God and don't worry about it, but also in our blessing, not only give to God. I was just thinking about what she was saying. It was something I was told ever since I was a little kid, whenever I'd fidget and everything, and be still and know that I am God in all situations. I see that now. That in the blessing, even though we want to reject it, we can't. We must be still and let him just take over. Just say, you know, it's not me, it's all you in all situations. In my sin, on one side of the spectrum, and in my blessing on the other. Mm. In all things. All things.
You guys are getting it. It's good. You're good people. Very good people. Oh, glory. You are wicked people, but very good wicked people. No. Your wickedness is a description of your behavior. Your goodness is a description of your identity. Your wickedness is a description of your behavior. You know, you haven't gotten rid of all your sins yet. That's all right. It's nothing. God blows it off. He already killed all that on the cross. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, God just sees you. When he sees you, he just, like, lights up like a light bulb. He goes, it's my beloved. It's my beloved. When he sees you, that's all he says. You're my beloved. Please, don't look to parents. Don't look to husbands and wives. Don't look to children. Don't look to pastors. Don't look to friends. Don't look to anybody. Don't trust in them. People are not trustworthy. Stop it. It's your sin if you do it. Stop it. Say it. I will not trust any other human being, including myself. But I will trust in the Lord, who only doeth good things for me all the time, without exception. God is good. Let's close. Father, we just give you praise and glory and honor. This is the day that you have made. You made this day. Never been a day like today. This is a special day. A day like no other. Yesterday was a different day. Tomorrow, another day. But today, just today, this is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The rest of the world may gripe and complain. We're not going to do it. This is a good day. We're glad we're here. We're glad we heard. We're glad we know that you're a loving God. We already knew it in our heads, but it's good to review it over and over again until we get it down. We have nothing to worry about. There is nothing. Be not anxious. Be not anxious. Don't be anxious. Everything's working out for your good. Thank you, Lord, for loving us just the way we are, changing us slowly. You don't even know when you're doing it, and causing us to be perfected. And on the last day, we will be whatever you intended, without any help on our part. All we did was believe. All we did was cooperate with the fact that you're a good God, and that everything else is nothing. We discount it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.